chapter number 4. As we finish Paul's very personal letter to Timothy, this is an interesting part of the letter. This is his second letter. Paul had been in and out of prison during his missionary journeys, and so prison is not anything that was new to Paul. Matter of fact, even at one time, Nero had let him out of prison. But it wasn't long until he found himself back in prison again. And I will tell you, the words of this second letter to Timothy, this letter to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, is written to Timothy. And I want you to get the context of what you're reading, because it was actually written to Timothy from a damp, dark cell. That's where Paul is. And so one of the things that you're going to find in this fourth chapter, if you don't already know it by now, is a very personal side of Paul. If you've ever, you know, when you read all of Paul's other letters, I mean, Paul's in the thick of it. He's in the throes of it. The churches are coming up. He's on his missionary journeys, three of them that he went on specifically. And so he's in the throes. He's in the mix of all of it. But now as he comes down to that final last days of his life, and he knows it's the end. He knows this is it. And what he's doing is he's encouraging Timothy. And he's exhorting Timothy, and he's challenging Timothy, because Timothy is the one who's going to carry on with everything that Paul had started. Timothy's going to carry it on from here. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. And so Paul had invested a great deal in Timothy. Paul gave Timothy a solemn charge to preach the truth of God's word. Over and over, you know, you often hear people speak of this chapter. You'll hear them use the phrase, just preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. I mean, you hear it a lot. But I don't think so often. I think sometimes we lose sight of just the magnitude of which Paul wrote these words, because I'm going to tell you, Paul wrote these words with the deepest of feelings. And when you understand where he is, and you understand all of those things that Paul had experienced and been through in his life, and he knows that his days are numbered and he's coming to a close, and here's young Timothy. And Timothy was a young man in the faith at Ephesus, one of the most difficult places to be. And so Paul offers Timothy a challenge. And let me say this, he did not inspire Timothy through empty words of fluff. You'll not find any of those here, but warned him. And matter of fact, here's one of the things that he wanted Timothy to understand, that people will listen less and less to the truth. And matter of fact, Timothy, as the years go on and as the years go by, people are going to listen less and less to the truth. Nothing has changed today. Matter of fact, it's probably gotten a little worse today. As we see, as we move towards the end time, as we move toward those end days, the Bible says that there will come a falling away. There'll be a departing of the faith. And we know, even from the words of Paul to Timothy, that this day is coming. But here's what he encouraged Timothy with. He said, even in light of all that, Timothy, here's one of the things that you've got to do. Just stay faithful to what God's called you to do. Because, Timothy, it's not up to you. It is not up to you to bring the results. Your responsibility, Timothy, is just preach the word. Just be truthful to the word and leave the rest of it up to God. Just preach the word. Just apply the word. Apply God's word to. But first of all, and this is what Paul wanted Timothy also to understand, is in applying the word of God, you need to apply it to your life first before you apply it to those in the church. Because what good is it if it's not applied first in your own life before it's applied to the church? So in verse 1 through verse 2, what you see is Paul is going to share with Timothy some of those pastoral responsibilities. And we see his charge to Timothy in verse number 1, and notice what he says. He says, I charge you therefore. And notice who he makes the charge before. Before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you, that's quite a charge. So Timothy, I want you to understand this. I'm making this charge before God and before Jesus Christ himself. Matter of fact, Timothy, just so you'll remember this, who is also going to be able to judge the quick and the dead, those that are alive and those that are dead, at his appearing and at his kingdom. By the way, we'll all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're a born-again child of God, you've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, one day, as a Christian, we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And here's what we'll answer for. All of those things we've done for the Lord in our life since the time that we have been saved and been a child of God, we will give an account of those things. And so he tells Timothy, he said, oh, Timothy, you need to remember who you'll be held accountable to. Aren't you glad we're not going to be held accountable to each other? There's only one we'll be held accountable to. And based upon the standard of the Word of God, we'll be held accountable to his standard, not to ours. And then he comes to verse 2. And so here's what he says, the emphatic in Greek. He says, preach the word. Timothy, just preach the word. Let me tell you something. You can't go wrong teaching and preaching the word. It's the absolute truth. It's the absolute word of God. It's what it is. Sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God will not return unto God void, but it will do the perfect work that God intends for it to do. He says, Timothy, just preach the word. And then he says to Timothy, he says, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You see, the subject of ministry is God's word. That's what it is. If you're in the ministry, the subject of ministry is God's word. The duty of ministry is preparedness and accessibility in season and out of season. Let me tell you something. If it comes around to be Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night and I'm not prepared to preach, it's nobody's fault but my own. It's not God's fault. It's surely not your fault. If it's anybody's fault, it would be mine. And let me tell you something. You need to be instant in season and out of season. You need to be ready with an answer. You need to be ready always to share something from the Word of God. I don't think in all of my 26 years of ministry, I've never met a preacher yet who that were asked to share a word from the Word of God didn't have a word to share. And matter of fact, as a child of God, as a saved, born-again person, you ought always to have a word to share, especially when somebody asks you. Just share with them what God did in your own life and your own salvation experience. And then we come to verse 3 and verse 4, and you see Paul is going to share with Timothy what the majority's response will be. So look at verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Don't want to hear it. It's boring. That's what they say. I don't know about you, okay, but I love to study doctrine because it's just so rich. But after their own lusts, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, to tell me what they want to hear. You know, it kind of reminds me of something the prophet Isaiah said. Take your Bibles and go back to Isaiah chapter 30. The children of Israel they didn't want to hear it anymore. They'd gotten to the point that they just did not want to hear. They didn't want to hear the things of God anymore. Matter of fact, if you look at Isaiah chapter 30, starting in verse number 8, I still hear some pages turning. I like to hear that, okay? But I get concerned when they keep turning. Want to make sure. So if you're there, let me know that you're there, okay? All right. Isaiah chapter 30, look at verse number 8. Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers or to the prophets, and notice what they say, see not. And unto the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things or smooth words. Notice what it says next, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. In other words, we don't want to hear from God anymore. And you can go on and read the rest of this. Let's go back to Paul's letter to Timothy. So let me share with you what Paul is telling Timothy hasn't changed. That just has not changed. And so where we are today has not changed as well. So he tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, just preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Oh, by the way, there's coming a day when they're not going to listen anyway. And then look at verse 4. It says, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Despite all the patience, Timothy, the kindness and the truth, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They just won't do it. Then we come to verse 5. And we see Paul's command to Timothy just to be constant. And notice what he says in verse 5. But watch in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. And just make full proof of your ministry. What in the world was Paul telling Timothy? Godly living, holiness, perseverance, and adherence to truth were never intended as private practices to ensure personal well-being. Timothy was to discharge all the duties of ministry to preach and spread the knowledge of God among those who had not heard. So in other words, do the work of an evangelist. Be busy sharing the truth of the gospel. Make full proof of your ministry. In other words, it needs to be seen, needs to be demonstrated to those around you. You need to live out what you preach. You need to live out what you teach. So in other words, what they hear on you on one day, they ought to see on the other days. It ought to be a part of your life and who you are. And oh, by the way, godly living and holiness. Let me just share something with you tonight. There's nothing wrong with being holy. Matter of fact, we're commanded to be holy. The Word of God said, quoted from the Old Testament, for us to be holy because He's holy. So don't let that word scare you. Verse 6 through verse 8, Paul is getting ready now to share his own example. Paul was going to die soon and he knew it. And Timothy must carry on the work. So look beginning in verse number 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. That's an interesting Greek word, offered. Here's what it means. It means being poured out like a drink offering. And I'm sure Paul probably is thinking about, he's probably thinking back to the very words that he wrote in Romans chapter number 12 as he speaks about being a living sacrifice. Because that's what he was. And so he said, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. He said, I'm ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. And then he says in verse 7, he said, I've fought a good fight. He said, I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. And then on top of all of that, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not just to me only, Timothy, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You see, Paul referred to his coming death in terms of a willing sacrifice to God. And watch this, alone and without fear. He's in a jail cell. In a damp, dark cell. and to have that kind of joy. Was Paul afraid? No. Paul knew where he was going. Paul's coming to the end of his life. And let me tell you what, to be able to come to the end of your life and to be able to say, as Paul said, I have fought the fight, I've kept the faith, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go. Nothing behind me, but everything before me. As he looked forward to what God had for him. As Paul awaited death, he stood on the threshold of a more glorious life to come. And he knew that. Take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. In Paul's own letter to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse 16 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, though this earthly tabernacle is going to go away, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, verse 17, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I would imagine that Paul, probably in that dark, dingy, damp cell, had his eyes focused on the very throne room of God, because he knew that was his next stop. He knew that where he found himself was temporary. It was going to end. It was going to come to a close. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that this world that I live in right now and I look at every day is but temporal. It's but temporary. Because there are far greater things ahead for the child of God than what you see here. This isn't it. This isn't all there is. So as Paul waited, he knew what was ahead of him yet. As we come to the final verses from verse 9 all the way down through verse 22, the final verses of this chapter is just they're just so full of Paul and his life and who he is. Matter of fact, he wrote of his love, appreciation, and the need of others who served with him, and how he needed them near him. Look at verse 9, and we're going to go down through verse 18. Some had deserted Paul, turned and left him, and others remained faithful to him. And he expresses his own personal thanks in these closing words. Look at verse 9 through verse 18. He says, do your diligence to come shortly unto me. And let me tell you something, that's not the first time Paul says that to Timothy. Matter of fact, if you jump over to verse 21, he now adds a time frame on it. He said, be diligent to come to me. And oh, Timothy, please make sure it's before winter. Because see, if he waited till then, it was very difficult to travel. To get in and out of the ports of Troas and around that area and to get to where Paul was, it was just too difficult. And so he said, by the way, you need to make sure that you try to come before winter gets here. Verse 10. And I want you to get the full emotion of verse number 9, because here's what Paul is saying. Timothy, I just need to see you again. I just need to see you. Verse 10. And then, of course, there's old Demas. Now, Demas, Paul had spoke of in Colossians and also in Philemon, of being and sharing in the ministry with him. But when we come here to verse 10, notice what happens. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed back to Thessalonica. And then there's Sessions to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Verse 11, and only Luke's with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for it is he's profitable for me, or to me for the ministry. So bring him with you. Let me tell you what, I honestly believe Paul wanted a good old-fashioned prayer meeting in that cell before he went home to be with the Lord. So he said, Timothy, bring all of them with you. All right? You don't need to come by yourself. Hey, grab all of them and come. And then verse 12. And of course, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When you come, bring with you and the books, but especially the parchments. I think Paul just wanted one more time to go through and read them. Just one last time before he goes home to see his Savior. Just one last time before he goes home to be with the Lord. I remember sitting in a hospital room with a dear saint of God who was going home to be with the Lord. And I never will forget, I was sitting there in the hospital. And one of the things that he wanted me to do is just to take out the Word of God and just start reading. Well, where do you want me to start? Doesn't matter, just start anywhere. And just start reading the Word of God to me. You know, I've often thought about when it comes time for me in my own life. And some people say, preacher, you sit around thinking about dying? No, that's not what I said. But it has crossed my mind. You know, and I've shared this with you before. I am not afraid of dying at all, as long as it don't hurt. I'm not afraid of leaving this life. Because you see, when I leave this life, death is nothing but the mere portal for me to go home to glory. But if I'm lying in a hospital bed in those last hours, one of my wishes is for somebody just to sit there and just start in Genesis chapter 1, just start reading the Word. Because I'm getting ready to go home to see it in all of its real life. Of all of those who have gone before. But more than that, more than any of that, to finally get to see face to face the one who took my place, the one who loved me so, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I honestly believe Paul was so focused on that in the cell. And then, of course, verse 14, and then there's Alexander, the coppersmith who did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Basically, Paul said, God, you deal with him. Of whom be you ware also, for he has greatly withstood our words. If there was an opposition ever to the gospel in my journeys, it was made by Alexander. And at my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You could tell Paul was a preacher because he ends the letter twice. I'm sure he got to that part and he remembered a little bit more, right? Just one more time. I got a few more words for you, Timothy. But here at the end of his life, How do we see Paul? Let me tell you something. Paul experienced all of the emotion that we do. And I'm sure at some point in time, Paul probably was feeling just a little lonely. I mean, my gracious, he was human. especially when he asked Timothy to come and to be diligent about coming. And by the way, why don't you just go ahead and bring Mark with you at the same time? Weariness, discouragement, and loneliness visit the faithful Christian. I don't care who you are. It comes. It just comes with being human. It's a part of our emotion. Let me tell you what, you can't always walk around on a high. There are times when these come. And I will tell you, Paul was no exception. Then, of course, Demas was one of Paul's friends and associates. And as I said earlier, he mentioned him in the book of Colossians and also in Philemon, describing him as a fellow worker. But notice the commentary that he gives of Demas, because word had gotten back to Paul about Demas. He's forsaken me, having loved the present world. And he's departed and he's gone back to Thessalonica. Paul's purpose, I believe, in telling the story was not, listen, Paul is not playing on the sympathy of those of Timothy that he's writing to. That is not the intent here. He's not looking for sympathy or pity, but to put focus upon the goodness and the sufficiency of God and who God is. Look back at verse 17, because here is an honest inside look at his heart. Notice what it says. Notwithstanding, in everything that I've just shared, from Demas all the way to Alexander. And yes, I'm in the darkest throes of a prison cell. But notwithstanding all of that, the Lord stood with me. And oh, by the way, guess where I draw my strength from? I draw my strength from Him, not from myself. That by me, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Let me tell you something. Paul, as he first took the gospel to the Jews and they rejected, and then he became known as the apostle to the Gentiles. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul never lost his love for his own. Well, how do you know that? Well, I tell you what. Glad you asked. Let's go to Romans. Flip over to Romans chapter. Hold on just a minute. I'll tell you. Go to chapter 10, okay? 9, 10, and 11 is Paul writes about his own kindred. But I want you to notice chapter 10 in the book of Romans. And I want you to notice how he starts it. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they" what? "Is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And he goes through and he talks about them. And then he said, and Paul went on eventually to make this statement about his own people. Paul said, I would be accursed so that my brethren could be saved. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul's passion was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Not even his arrest interfered with this. Remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison? Started singing at midnight. I don't know how many of us would have started singing at midnight if we'd have been thrown in prison, but they did. And all the results, when the chains were loosed and Paul and Silas come out of the prison, and the results that they got to see of the jailer and his whole household that came to know Christ as a result of that. And I guarantee you, Paul sitting here in the prison in Rome, okay? All the guards that were there, I can listen, when you get to heaven one day, ask him. I guarantee you they heard the gospel. With Paul there, guarantee you they heard the gospel. Born in Troas, converted on the road to Damascus, from Antioch of Syria, as he started his missionary journeys, all the way to the presence of Nero in Rome. He had the opportunity to share the gospel from Antioch of Syria all the way to the palaces of the kings. How many of y'all remember when Paul stood before Agrippa? And he answered in his own defense, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. As he said to the church at Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not ashamed of the gospel. And then 19 through 22, here's what Paul says. One more thing and I'll close. I'll finish the letter. And I want you to notice what he writes. He said, oh, by the way, he said, I want you to salute or greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus, who abode at Corinth. But Trophimus have I left at Miletum, sick. Oh, Timothy, I want you to do diligence to come. Now he puts a time frame on there, but I want you to come before winter, because when winter gets here, you won't be able to come. Eubulus greets you, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Let me tell you something. Paul had them spread out from one end to the other. I would imagine that Paul probably had more. I can only imagine just reading his letters. In all of that journey, he walked or either went by boat. Over 2,000 miles he traveled. And all of the works that had started. No wonder Paul was able to say, I've fought a good fight. My gracious, he had been shipwrecked, he had been beaten, he had been stoned half to death, thrown in prison. Everything that you could possibly imagine about Paul, he had experienced. But let me tell you what, none of it deterred him from preaching the gospel. And it didn't matter where he was at. It didn't matter if he was in jail. He was still going to preach the gospel. And he ends the letter with a word of grace. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Paul's final words were common and personal words. The closing words of a man deeply bound to friends in Christ. Paul returned to the immediate needs, though. Timothy, you need to come on. He pressed Timothy to hurry. And I can understand that. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. And he just wanted to see him one last time. I honestly believe that Paul wanted to embrace him just one more time. Just to encourage him. Because he knew that Timothy was going to carry on the torch from here and continue to spread and to share the gospel. You see, Paul's desire was that Timothy would remain faithful until the end. And you notice in verse 22, kept by who? Kept by his own strength? No. But kept by the very Spirit of God himself. Kept by the very Spirit of God himself. To understand grace and to understand that his strength comes from the Lord. Today, when you go over to Europe, if you go to Italy, to that area over there, there is an abbey that stands today in Paul's honor. Matter of fact, it's in a place known as the Glade of the Tombs. But that abbey stands in Paul's honor there to this day. You can actually go see it today. And matter of fact, the name of the place is called Tre Fontane. And it means three fountains. Stands as a tribute to him. But no matter how much earthly tribute is given to Paul, and no matter what kind of monument may be set for Paul here on this earth, there is no greater. There is no greater. No greater honor than to enter into the Lord's presence and hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Enter into the joy of my salvation. What a blessing. That's Paul's life. Invested and placed into Timothy. And who are we investing in today? Investing in someone to carry on the torch for us. Because see, that day is coming for me. And I'll soon pass on. I hope I have a while, but I still think I'm fairly young. Every day I get up and look in the mirror, I get younger looking every day. No, brother, you keep telling yourself that every day. At some point you even start to believe it, okay? Except when you go to get up out of bed. And one leg argues with the other one as to which one got out of bed first yesterday, okay? And then your body revolts. And your hair starts turning gray. And this old earthly tabernacle starts to fade. But oh, the joy of knowing that one day we'll be reunited with our Heavenly Father. Amen. What a blessing that will be. All right.